In our first reading today, we heard the beginning of the story of Abraham. Just a few verses earlier than this, in the book of Genesis, we had heard his name, and who his father was, and who his wife was, and where he lived. But his story really begins in the first reading, when the Lord speaks to him and says, "Go forth from your country, and from your relatives, and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you." And so Abraham set out for a land he did not know. Now, isn't that a lot like so many of us who also have moved far from where we were born and from where our relatives live? Aren't we a lot like Abraham? But we should not be too quick to say yes to that question, because there's another story that we should think about before we know what the answer to that question is. Let us consider the case of the prophet Jonah. At the beginning of the story of the prophet Jonah, the Lord said to him, "Set out for the great city of Nineveh and preach against it." And Jonah responded by going in the opposite direction. Rather than traveling northeast to Nineveh, he went west to a port city and got on a ship going west to the furthest place he had ever heard of, as far from Nineveh as he could go. So Jonah also went forth from his country and from his relatives, but he was not obeying God's call. He was disobeying it. He was running as far away from the Lord as he could get. And so it is good to ask ourselves, if you are far from home, did you get here like Abraham did, by hearing God's call to you and believing him, and being ready to follow his direction, even into what to you was unknown and uncomfortable? Or are you here because you're like Jonah, unwilling to take that step of complete trust and obedience, so that instead you grabbed onto something else than what the Lord asked you, and went in the opposite direction? Or perhaps neither one of those describes your situation. Perhaps God didn't have much to do with it either way, because you didn't ask him. You didn't listen to his voice to find out what he really wanted of you. Maybe you've never asked him that, and he's been waiting a long time for you to ask him what his plans for you are. This season of Lent is a great time to dig into these questions, not to accept easy answers or deceive ourselves, but really to examine ourselves closely. After all, the Lord sees our heart. Do we see our heart? During Lent, as we all know, we take on special actions of fasting and almsgiving and prayer, and all of this is good and important. But by itself, it is not enough. It is all rooted in something more central. The prophets of the Old Testament and our Lord Jesus Christ emphasize so often that external acts of repentance and sacrifice and offering are good, but they are not enough if underneath, in the real central attachments of the heart and decisions of the will, we are actually pushing the Lord away and closing ourselves from his will, what he wants for us. St. Paul writes to Timothy, "He saved us and called us to a holy life." A holy life, a life that is set apart and different from the average, everyday, not so holy lives that we see around us. A holy life, one that is holy in that we increasingly share in the character, qualities, and actions of God himself, of our Lord Jesus Christ. A life in which, as the Lord tells Abraham, he will bless us and he will bless others through us if we will let him. Lent, then, is a time to ask our Lord what plans he has for us, and to begin to say more and more with Jesus to the Father, "Not my will, but yours be done." And if we are seeking the Lord's will and living out the vocation to which he has called us, if there's much of this in our past, then Lent is the time to take the next step. No matter how many steps we have already taken, there's always the next one, and it might be just as hard as the first one was. For Timothy, early in his life as a young bishop in Ephesus, St. Paul urged him to take his next step. As he wrote, "Do not be ashamed, but bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control." And so St. Paul urged Timothy to take his next step. What about us? What is our next step, all the way down to the heart? Our Lord Jesus saved us and called us to a holy life. And who is this Lord who calls us? Is he a kind and good man? Is he a powerful man who can work miracles and cast out demons? Is he the Messiah, the Son of the living God, as Peter had confessed in the chapter right before today's gospel reading? Is he the apocalyptic Son of Man, revealed in some of the Old Testament prophets, who in the Transfiguration, his face shone like the sun, and who conversed with Moses and Elijah, those great figures from the past of the people of Israel who stood for the law and the prophets? Is he like them truly a heavenly being? The answer to these questions is yes. Yes, he is all those things and more still. When Peter and James and John saw him transfigured on the mountain, it filled them with joy and wonder. And yet, they still needed to learn more of who he was, this Lord who called them, this master who they had followed as disciples for a couple years. Even within this story, we see that something new happens that draws a new response from them. A bright cloud cast a shadow over them, and from the cloud came a voice. Now perhaps that does not immediately signal to us what it did for them. But they knew from the history that they were taught that these were the greatest, closest signals of God's presence that their people had ever had. Just as when the Lord gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai, there they were upon a mountain. They had the cloud that signaled God's presence right above them. They had the voice of God the Father speaking right to them. It wasn't just something they were hearing about. It was happening to them right then. And they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. And what was it that the Father said to them at that moment? "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Listen to Jesus, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, true God from true God, one in being with the Father. Listen to Jesus, who calls us with Abraham to go forth from what is familiar to us into the unknown that he has prepared for us. Listen to Jesus, who calls us with Timothy to be courageous and not intimidated by opposition to the gospel. Listen to Jesus, who calls us with Peter and James and John to see him as he really is, and to be ready to face even the cross in order through it to reach the glory of his resurrection. Listen to Jesus and receive him, who makes himself present in this Mass to feed us with his own body and blood and to draw us to unite ourselves and our lives to him, so that more and more we can say with St. Paul, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me."